1, 2, 3.
Welcome to In the Studio with a 21st century perspective on history's greatest rock albums. I'm Redbeard, and today in the studio, one of the top selling albums of the 1980s.
However, when you get into Memphis and you start breathing that air and you feel that musical vibe hit you and it's just right there, it inspires you to write. You can go to Memphis and there's just something that comes over you.
Billy's genius lies in his tone. I think there's no one better at guitar tones than Billy Gibbons.
It's just like people I know that used to think I was crazy, now I get to be eccentric. It's got me under pressure.
Hey, this is Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top.
And this is Dusty Hill of ZZ Top.
And I'm Frank Beard, and you're in the studio.
ZZ Top had reached the top of the charts 10 years before, but that didn't make their sudden popularity in 1983 any more predictable. It wasn't that they were just popular. They were hip, for God's sake, writes Stephen Thomas Erlewine in the All Music Guide. The songs alone would have made Eliminator one of ZZ Top's three greatest albums, but their embrace of synthesizers and sequencers made it a blockbuster hit, looking as good as the omnipresent street rod on the cover and sounding as irresistible as Reaganomics. ZZ Top never sounded as much like a band of its time as it did here, end quote. And the times, before cell phones, iPods, or even the internet, were about music videos on America's first 24-hour video music channel, MTV. Here's ZZ Top drummer Frank Beard with me in the studio.
The first exposure any of us had to MTV was I was laying in bed with my wife one night watching, you know, flipping channels, and I discovered a station and it was playing a rock video, and I thought, you know, this is pretty cool. So we started watching. We watched for an hour. We thought, wow, this is really cool. Wonder how long it lasts. We watched for another hour. Man, this is cool, but it's getting, you know, wonder when it's going to be over. We don't want to miss anything. And we stayed up about 6 hours till the sun came up, not knowing that it was a new 24-hour station. And then we started making videos pretty quick after that. But we didn't know anything about it until it was well out.
Like a tunnel, if I blow my top,
Give Me All Your Lovin' from ZZ Top's March 1983 release Eliminator was the first single from the album, but it was also the band's first video ever, expanding the fan base almost overnight by utilizing a medium, television, that ZZ Top's manager had them avoid up until this album Eliminator. According to bass player, vocalist Dusty Hill, ZZ Top approached the music video revolution with customary Texas style.
Most things we do, we try to have some fun with, for one thing. And we thought, well, if we're going to do this thing, you know, let's do it the way we want to do it. We love cars, obviously, girls, you know. So we said, well, this is our video. Let's do that. You know, and all the little gestures and things like that that we became known for were, they happened there. They were, I mean, you know, the guy said, go stand over there and watch the car go by. Well, we stood over there and watched the car go by, and we thought, well, this is boring. So we did a little gesture as the car went by. Yeah, a loop of the hand. You know, I think Frank came up with it. I'm not sure one of us, but it's Frank. It wasn't me. But, you know, it was a little thing. And next thing I knew, everybody's coming up to me on the street, and they do it today.
Oh, yeah.
They go, do your gesture. And I went, well, what exactly do you mean? Oh, yes, I know. Never mind. But see, those type of things, you know, and then all of a sudden I couldn't go shopping anymore, you know, because Billy and I with the beards, you know, it just became, yeah, well, Frank won't go shopping with Billy and I. You know, he went to a mall with me one time, and all these people gathered around. We started signing autographs, and I slipped out and left him there, and so he won't go anywhere with us anymore.
But the irony certainly wasn't lost on me. Sitting there with the three members of ZZ Top, three of us had long beards down to the middle of our chests, while the only one clean-shaven was named Frank Beard. So why did Frank shave?
And you know why, because you're stuck with yours the same way these guys are stuck with theirs. You, above all people, should know why. I was so lucky on that one, because when we got together after we took, you know, the 3 years off in 78, I had a beard. If you look at the Lone Wolf Horns, I had that little short, you know, 2-inch beard, and these guys had their beards weren't that long. I mean, they were long, but, you know, I could have caught up by now. But I got frustrated at losing the contest, and so I shaved, and now I can go to the mall and they can't.
She likes French cuisine.
Though famous for being a Texas trio, ZZ Top had recorded a half dozen hit albums in Memphis, Tennessee by the time that Eliminator was released. I asked ZZ Top guitarist, singer Billy Gibbons, why they recorded in Memphis.
We've always kind of ascribed to the old phrase, T for Texas, T for Tennessee. There was something about it we never could quite figure it out, but we decided to go up and check it out. I suppose that by sticking in Memphis, it offered us a little psychological advantage of maybe getting away from the house for a while.
Yeah, but you could do that in any city.
Possibly. However, when you get into Memphis and you start breathing that air and you feel that musical vibe hit you and it's just right there, it inspires you to write. You can go to Memphis and there's just something that comes over you. I don't know if it's just this lineage of rich musical heritage going back to
W.C. Handy.
So far back, yeah, and it's still there. It really is still there. So we go up and breathe it, live it, and see what we can do with it.
But the colorful, quirky images of the three guys in ZZ Top have definitely been made larger than life through those Eliminator videos. Here's drummer Frank Beard, followed by bass player Dusty Hill.
We've always kind of joked amongst ourselves that it was the videos that, like, were the window into the craziness of ZZ Top, and it was the videos that allowed the people to see what the band was really kind of trying to say and what it was about. And it's like when we wore cowboy hats, it wasn't too cool, and then Urban Cowboy came out, and we stopped wearing cowboy hats. And so we were the same band. It's just all of a sudden it was very hip to be in ZZ Top, and that kind of amused us, you know. It was like, oh, so they finally caught up or something.
It's just like people I know that used to think I was crazy, now I get to be eccentric.
Thank you.
dress it out fine. Up next, Billy Gibbons, Dusty Hill, and Frank Beard analyze what made all the tumblers click on their way to making ZZ Top's Eliminator the number 396 album of all time, according to Rolling Stone magazine. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and you can certainly find a lot more at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, and you're in the studio with Billy, Dusty, and Frank for ZZ Top's Eliminator.
Hey, this is Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top saying welcome back to In the Studio, and now back to the man who spends half his life trying to convince people he's not in ZZ Top. Take it away, Mr. Redbeard.
Thank you, Billy. So why did Eliminator, ZZ Top's eighth album, have so many strong songs on it and sell three times more copies than all of their previous ZZ Top albums combined? ZZ Top drummer Frank Beard has a theory on that.
I think the thing that made that album special for us was the fact that we had some gear of our own by then, and we were able to set it up, and we wrote most of the songs and actually laid them down. We had a little 16 track and we laid them down and were able to experiment with some different sounds and then change the songs and evolve the songs more so than we'd been able to do before. So when we went into the studio, Billy had an idea of what the lead was going to be like and what his rhythm guitars were going to be like before the basic track was laid down, which in a lot of cases before that, we'd do a basic track, and then the lead and the vocals would go on, and that's different that way. So we got to play around before we went into the studio and discover some things that turned into some really big directions for us. That's what I say.
That is a brilliant insight, Frank.
Then again, that could all be bullshit.
Gotta have it.
20-year-old turkey and a 30-year-old tin. TV dinners. ZZ Top from the March 1983 Eliminator album. I asked the band members to recall the level of intensity in the studio for recording their best-sounding album to date. Billy Gibbons answers first.
Fast, furious. We'd work it up, perfect it, go on to the next one. We'd come back, and as Frank mentioned, we had a little bit different setup in that we had the opportunity to just kind of dig on them, go back and tidy up what we thought might need some attention, just detailing.
Yeah, also, that was the album that got us back into the studio, big room together. DeGuayo and El Loco, we had followed the engineer's wishes, and I would get stuck off in a drum booth, and Dusty would be in a broom closet, and Billy would be in maybe in the control room, or he would be in a sound room, and we would be separated from each other and talking, you know, listening through headphones and talking into mics to each other, and we couldn't see each other. So this album, we set up our gear all together in the main room and said, no, we'd prefer to do it this way.
We were so comfortable on stage when we're in contact with each other, we thought, well, why not in the studio? You know, because a nod means something in a different part of a song, and you can't see a nod isolated booth, you know, so the feeling had a lot to do with that.
An underappreciated chestnut buried in the bounty of Boogie on Eliminator. That's the blues I need you tonight. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and you can hear a lot more at inthestudio.net. Next, Billy Gibbons, Dusty Hill, and Frank Beard of ZZ Top rejoined me, Redbeard, in the studio for the 15 million seller worldwide Eliminator.
Hey, this is Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top saying welcome back to In the Studio, and now back to the man who spends half his life trying to convince people he's not in ZZ Top. Take it away, Mr. Redbeard.
Thank you again, guys. It's the anniversary of ZZ Top's Eliminator, ranked at number 396 on Rolling Stone magazine's top 500 albums of all time. ZZ Top has always had a sound brewed years earlier from growing up in Texas listening to border radio stations just across the Rio Grande in Mexico. Here's ZZ Top drummer Frank Beard.
Those stations would come through really clear at night. I don't know. I think maybe some of the other stations would shut down or something, but they would, late at night was the time to listen to those in your room, you know, with the door shut.
What were you grooving on? What were you picking up? What were you listening for? What did you hear?
Oh, everything, everything. I mean, they would play, hillbilly and blues and, just all kinds of, great music. And then they would have the, The commercials were the best part, the personalities that were down there, the goat gland operations that they were selling. They were in Mexico. They were just right over the border, and they would sell like goat gland operations, which would make you young again, you know, and you would go down there and get these goat gland injections.
Of a goat injected into you?
Oh, sure. It's Mexico, you know, so like there was no FDA or anything, and you know. Pretty wild, but it gave us a wide variety of styles to choose from. I mean, we got influenced by everything, you know, all kinds of music.
Oh,
As it turned out, the Eliminator album by ZZ Top had such long legs and produced such a string of consecutive hits that drummer Frank Beard contended that the band's image continued to snowball even after they stopped touring in 83.
It was so unusual. The way that album unfolded was that we went out on tour and they released Give Me All Your Lovin', and they put out the video, and then they released Sharp Dressed Man, and they put out a video, and then we did TV Dinners and they put out the video. Then we were through touring. We were finishing up in Europe when they released Legs. And so we missed, the album had sold maybe 2 million copies up until that moment. And when they released Legs, then things really went crazy. But all of that happened during the off period for us. We did not see any of that during the Eliminator tour. We caught the first wave of that during the Afterburner tour because we were off the road when this happened. It was neat, you know, because suddenly we were selling records while we were writing another record. It gave us a lot of extra time to spend on Afterburner to come up with something we thought would be equally as pleasing. And when we did go out on the road, we got the response from the Eliminator album.
Ornery side of ZZ Top with I Got the Six. That's the same band that I saw play the George W. Bush first inaugural ball in Washington, D.C. Honest to goodness, same band. I can't think of a group in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame still working today that's been together longer than ZZ Top. Drummer Frank Beard says that's no accident.
Now, Billy's genius lies in his tone. I mean, Billy is not one to play, fire off a bunch of fast licks at you. You know, he is more of grab a hold of one and shake it a little bit, you know, till it makes you want to cry. His tones have been the cornerstone of this band. You know, his ability to separate good tone from bad tone. I mean, so many guitar players can play fast,
and they can play well. But if their tone is not right, you know, it starts just kind of gets to going through. Billy's guitar playing does not hurt your ears.
Like being in our own backyard, right? I hope everybody came to have a good time today.
think he's there's no one better at guitar tones than Billy Gibbons.
Eliminator, looking back on that album, it shattered all previous marks for the band. Billy Gibbons now has 2020 honesty.
There's a lot of luck to start it off with. These things you would like to prophesy and say, well, we can plan this, or we'd like to set it up going in a certain way. And yet it's always unpredictable, and it's always probably exactly opposite of what you think you're going to do.
Really?
It's nice and neat to be able to put it in a package now and be able to identify it. But the first few notes that you're ripping and the first few chops that you're stabbing at, you don't really know exactly where you're going. But after a certain groove sets up, you say, this feels good, or let's follow that.
You've never strayed from the essence and a purity of sound. There had to be lots of temptations and, you know, armchair quarterbacking by a lot of people along the way. And I think you should see this grin, folks. You should,
yeah.
It's remarkable, but you can pull out all ZZ Top albums, and there is a consistency, there is an integrity, there is a trueness. And that's, a lot of your peers have fallen by the wayside.
It's interesting. Well, first of all, I can only take that as a compliment. But noting that, it's something that has kept us doing this thing that we love so much, and that's just playing the music. I think that each night is it's just guesswork. You know, who's going to throw who a curveball, and can you follow it when it goes way out there in left field? Who's going to bring us back? You know, yeah, it's fun.
She got legs, she knows
I'm Red Beard on the 40th anniversary of ZZ Top's Eliminator, thanking my guests Frank Beard and Billy Gibbons. This edition of In the Studio is dedicated to the fond memory of ZZ Top rock bottom fireplug Dusty Hill, who passed away in July 2021. May God give him eternal peace. In the Studio is written and produced for Red Beard Rocks. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved. Check out In the Studio on Facebook, listen to podcasts on Spotify, and visit inthestudio.net.